Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Psalms 119. I'm going to start reading in verse 105 and go through 112. And it starts out by saying none, N-U-N, which is the Hebrew letter, and I'll explain that. But it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Give us understanding. Please quicken us, just as the psalmist said. Please help us. And, sir, we would see Jesus. We thank you, Father, in that wonderful name, Jesus, the one that liveth and was dead, and behold, is alive forevermore. The one that's coming back in the twinkling of an eye. The one that's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In that wonderful name we pray. Amen. So it starts out, matter of fact, if you go to verse 1, it says Aleph, and you go a few verses down, and it says Bet, and etc. This psalm is poetry, and it's a special kind of poetry. Every verse, for the so many verses it is, starts with the Hebrew letter. The first letter is Aleph, and then the second letter is Bet, and etc. And I don't really know the Hebrew letters, but if you look in the Hebrew, each verse here starts with that particular letter. And it goes through the Hebrew alphabet. And this here, at verse 105, it starts with the letter Nun. And again, every verse here in Hebrew, in these ones I read, these, I guess, 7, 8 verses, whatever it is, starts with the letter Nun. Again, it's a special kind of poetry. But there's something else about this psalm, Psalm 119. It's the longest in the entire Bible. And it's right next to the shortest in the entire Bible, I suppose. But Psalm 117 is the shortest. But every verse in this psalm mentions God's word and uses a few different adjectives. In this case, we start out, "Thy word as a lamp unto my feet." But then in verse 2, it talks about thy righteous judgments. And then word again in verse 107. And 108, it says thy judgments. 109, thy law. 110, thy precepts. 111, thy testimonies. 112, thy statutes. Again, these are all synonyms. Not adjectives, but synonyms. I guess I said the wrong thing. For God's word. And as you might guess, the important thing in this psalm, Psalm 119, is the Word of God. But if you look at these few verses I read, it mentions trouble. It mentions depending upon God. It mentions looking to Him and trusting in Him. Seems to me that God's trying to say something. You know, one day when I get to heaven, I ain't going to be afflicted with a sinus condition. One day I'm not going to struggle to breathe. One day I'm not going to struggle to speak. One day. Looking forward to that. Hallelujah. But it talks about looking to God and depending upon His Word. You have trouble? Man, we got all kind of troubles. I mean, but look to God. Depend upon Him instead of getting on the phone and calling everybody, you know, and talking about it. Why don't you get on your knees and talk about it to God? Don't know what to do? Let's go to the Bible and find a couple of verses that talk about what you are going through or struggling with or whatever, and let's see what God says. But look at what it says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Kind of reminds me of the book of Proverbs, something that you ought to read. Which I've done a study on some of it, I suppose. Talks about wisdom. It gives practical knowledge of what to do. Some of it's spiritual, I suppose, but some of it's just practical knowledge. Like you shouldn't hang around with a busybody or something like that. Keep your mouth shut in certain circumstances, what have you. And practical things that a smart person ought to do. And one, it takes a whole chapter or so talking about, hey, you shouldn't go hanging around them kind of women. Because it's a snare. Etc. Very practical. It's a spiritual thing, but it's a practical thing. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs chapter 3, we always read two verses. I'm going to read four. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There's a light unto my path we just read. Well, it's just like that. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Well, I know how to do this. Nobody's going to tell me, etc. Well, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Trusting in God, depending in God, looking to God. That's something a Christian should do. We look to everything else. Complain about everything. But we ought to look to God. Because I assure you, He knows what to do. He can tell you what to do. He can tell you what not to do, which is what a lot of the book of Proverbs is about. Don't do this. Now, there's the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this. But Proverbs gives suggestions, not laws, but helpful suggestions and warnings. Hey, look, don't go do that, because it's not going to turn out well. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John chapter 1, verse 1, going through verse 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Some very bad translations say the Word was a God. Jesus is just one of the gods. That's not true. He's the God. He's the mighty God. If we want to go to Isaiah and talk about the Prince of Peace, He's God come from heaven. But we talked about the written word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. But here we're talking about the living word. Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, with His Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And He was right there with the Father and the Holy Ghost. And the Word was God. Now, He's always been God, always will be God. The Word is was because it's talking about in the beginning, and which is a thing in the past. He was God. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, by Jesus. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that was Jesus that did that. And without Him was not anything made that was made. But look at this. In Him was life. He's the author of everything. Everything comes from Him. And we can make things that, you know, we have brains and hands and stuff, and we can build bridges and write computer programs and all kind of things, but those things are just things. But the things that matter, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. We might write a computer program, I'm writing one, what have you. Troubleshoot them, etc. That's what I do. I'm a computer guy. But He hung the stars in space. He made heaven and earth and all that is in them. He made the fish in the sea, the birds in the air. He made everything. In Him was life. But then it says, and the life was the light of men. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But the life, Jesus Christ, was the light of men. He's the one that lights our path. We can go to the Bible and read, but it talks about Jesus. In Him is life. And the light shineth in the darkness. And thank God for it. He shined into my life, November 30th, 1984, 1:45 in the afternoon. I'm so happy about it. I've testified about it behind this pulpit a number of times. I'm so glad that He shined in my darkness. He set me free from dope, a bunch of other stuff, and I've not looked back. I'm so happy He changed me. But it says the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus is stronger than the devil, and light is stronger than darkness. You walk into a room, no matter how dark it is, and you light a match, and wow, you can see. No matter how little that little match happens to be, you can see. Darkness can't overcome light. Evil can't overcome good. Good overcomes evil. You do right, you live right, and you'll change your circumstances. You'll change the circumstances of people around you. But it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And that's our job, to witness of the light. Hey, look what Jesus did for me. Hey, let me tell you what He can do for you. You're to witness of the light, Jesus Christ. And you can lead people to God and out of darkness. It says He was not that light. John the Baptist was a great prophet, a great man, but his job was to say, hey, now look at me, look at Him. And behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was not that light, but He was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Isaiah, I didn't write it down, I guess it's chapter 9, verse 2. They that sat in darkness saw a great light. And those that sat in the darkness and the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. People are absolutely throwing their life away sitting in front of television, watching soap operas and Dr. Phil. Other people are throwing their life away, snorting, shooting up. People are throwing their life away. All kind of things. But he can help you. And he can help anyone that will turn to him. And again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that light shows me Jesus Christ. As I read the Bible, I see Jesus. And he is that true light that lights every man. All you have to do is just go through life, and every time you turn around, you get an evidence of, hey, you know, things are bigger than me. And hey, you know, there is goodness in the world. And hey, you know, I ought to stop living wrong. I ought to live for God. Exodus chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, I guess, going through verse 40. We're still in our study of the tabernacle. But today we're talking about the golden candlestick, which is inside the tabernacle itself. It's in the holy place. We've talked about the brazen altar. We've talked about the brazen laver. We've talked about the layout and construction. We talked about Jesus as the door of the tabernacle, but the priest, whichever priest it was, it was his job that day or that week or month or whatever his course was, he had a reason to go into the holy place, into the tabernacle, into that tent. And he was to do various things, one of which he was supposed to take a coal from the brazen altar and bring it into the tabernacle itself and put it on the golden altar, and then take spices, and we mentioned this last time, to sprinkle them on, and these spices would heat up and burn, and there would be a sweet smell in the tabernacle. Trouble is, if that light, that candlestick wasn't burning, there would be no light, and he would just trip over everything. He couldn't see. But there was that candlestick, and thank God that he's the light of men, Jesus Christ is. And this candlestick in the tabernacle of Moses symbolizes Jesus Christ. And in our study, I'd like to take a look today at that candlestick. Exodus chapter 25, as I said, starting at verse 31, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft, and his branches, and his bowls, and his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same, beaten gold. And his six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick." And there's a few more verses, and I want to get them read, because all of these things are important. Verse 34, "And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under the two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches under the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be of one beaten work of pure gold." And God and Moses are giving instructions, and it says, "And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it." The priests would do this. They would light the lamp, the various lamps, the seven lamps, would have you this golden candlestick, and it would give light in the holy place, which is what I said. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold thou shalt make it, or shall he make it, with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. A lot of reading, a lot of things that we don't quite understand yet, but they're all very important. You know, if you want to get saved, many times preachers and those that witness of the Lord will talk of the Roman road. And it's very important to understand that man's a sinner. That all the sin comes short of the glory of God, etc. That, well, you know, you've heard the Roman road, perhaps. I'm sure I've got it on my website if you don't want to know what it is. Or just type in Roman road into Google and you'll find it. Romans 3:23, 6:23, etc., etc. But all of these verses in the Roman road are important if you want to get saved. You have to know that you're a sinner. You have to know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. You have to know that you have to repent and confess Him and trust in Him. All of these things are necessary if you're going to become a Christian. Now, it's I guess, a crutch that we came up with. We call it the Roman road. It's something easy to remember, but it encapsulates the gospel. You can use other verses, obviously, but it's something that we use. But all the essentials are there. But you have to believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You have to believe that, hey, if I want my sins forgiven, I have to come and believe that Jesus died for them, and that I get to go free. You have to believe this. You believe something else, you don't make it. So, I read all these verses about the candlestick. We know it's of pure gold. And from this description, we understand that there is a shaft, an upright, and then three branches on one side and three branches on the other. And at last time I mentioned that the Jews, during Christmas time, they don't do Christmas, they do Hanukkah. Instead of a Christmas tree, they'll put a menorah. And if you count, a menorah has 9 branches, 1 upright, and then 4 branches on each side. In this case, and it means something special, there's a remembrance that they do, and they're very thankful for God helped them, and etc., during the time of the Maccabees. But here, the 7 golden candlestick, because there's 7 branches, that's what's described here. I guess that they fashioned their menorah to look like this particular item in the tabernacle, and that's fine. But this description, again, mentions a shaft. And these branches, 3 on one side, 3 on the other, and it's symmetrical. Today, if some craftsman were to make it, he'd start with a shaft, and then he'd find branches to weld in, I guess. Or screw in, or whatever the deal, but he would start with a shaft, and then he would add the branches, but that's not what this is. It mentions that it's of one beaten work. It's not a shaft and branches stuck on, but it's the whole thing fashioned at once. Number of things you can get from that. The gospel and the Bible, let's say, that the story of the gospel is not a bunch of things added on, and finally we come to, oh, you know, we have church. Because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain, it says in Hebrews, I believe. God had a plan. And God knew before we were even created exactly what that plan would be. And He didn't take His victims as He found them. The lawyers say that if a guy's got a broken leg and he gets in a car wreck, the other guy's at fault, well, you sue for, you know, the cut on his head and the broken leg. You take your victims as you find them. That's not how it is. God had all this figured out beforehand. and the man Jesus Christ. He is as he is. He's not divided. He's not, oh, here's an afterthought stuck onto that shaft in the middle. You can take this further. And I believe John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. And I know that we're grafted in. I go to Romans, I understand that, but if he's the head, we're the body. And we're grafted in. And he calls us friends and not just servants. We're part of the body of Christ. And I guess the common term today, don't know if I like it, is organic. We're not an afterthought. Christians are not an afterthought. Jews in the Old Testament, when they trusted in God and were saved, they weren't an afterthought. In the tribulation period when all the Jews come in, and especially at the end when Jesus Christ returns and reveals himself as Joseph did to his brethren, they'll say, my Lord and my God. But people were not an afterthought. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.